Amen. I'm thankful for that truth this morning. I'm thankful that he's faithful. I'm thankful that he's true, and we can trust him. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We'll begin our reading with verse number 11. John chapter 10. We'll begin our reading with verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 12, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jumping down to verse 26, it reads, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Father, we ask that you would help us today. We need your strength and divine help. Help us to be receptive to what you would have for us this morning in your name. Amen. I ran across a story a few months ago, maybe a year or so ago, about a not-so-good shepherd. The British newspaper called The Telegraph reported that a flock of 1,300 sheep had to be rounded up in a city called Huesca. It's in Spain somewhere. And all because a shepherd had fallen asleep. According to the city authorities, the police were alerted to the presence of an extremely large flock of sheep in the downtown area of Huesca. And the police had to respond to that scene, and they found 1,300 sheep wandering the streets. What a sight. A local resident called Spain's emergency number. The police responded, and now they had to figure out, how in the world are we going to get rid of these sheep? They searched the area, and they finally found a shepherd who was dozing. He was still asleep on a hillside just outside the city. They awoke him, and they said, listen, man, you have 1,300 sheep wandering right down there in the city. Can you imagine being awakened by a police officer? See your herd gone? They finally, after some time, the police and that poor shepherd finally got all of those sheep out of that city. That'd be a bad night if you were a shepherd. That would be a rough time. I hope you don't ever get into a situation like that. I know that some here have cows. We lived in Oklahoma City, and I was a young boy, but one Sunday morning, my dad was at the church. Someone came to our door, and the cows were in the front yard. It's a bad day, especially when you have to go round them up and you're the pastor and you need to be in church. I hope you don't get into a situation like that with your cows or your sheep. If you have sheep, that would be a challenging situation. But this morning, I would like to talk about a really, really good shepherd. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't lose his sheep that have come into his fold. And I would like for us to consider what I would call the characteristics of the good shepherd. We notice here in our passage of Scripture, right here in John chapter 10, three characteristics that the good shepherd possesses. And the first characteristic that we come to is found in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is startling. This is really startling to the audience that Jesus was talking to. The audience that Jesus was talking to knew a great deal about sheep. They knew a great deal about herding sheep. And they would know that if a shepherd willingly gave his life for one of their sheep, or if they had to give their lives for a sheep, that was unheard of. No one would do that. A hireling may, if he was really, really good, he might go the extra mile if one little lamb got off track and fell into a ravine. He may go and try to see what he can do about it. A shepherd, that maybe the owner of the herd, might figure out how in the world he could get that little lamb that had fallen down in the ravine. He may spend some time to go and save that lamb. But to think that the owner of the herd or the shepherd would die so that the sheep could have life was absolutely ridiculous to think about. Many in that audience that Jesus was talking to killed sheep on a regular basis. In fact, under the old dispensation, the sheep died for the shepherd. But now, Jesus here in John chapter 10 is saying that the good shepherd dies for the sheep. It's a startling contrast. It's shocking. And yet Jesus says that is what he does for us. Friends, I'm here today to tell us that the good shepherd has given his life for his sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Christ, the good shepherd, willingly died for you and for me. His blood is sufficient for our sins. But those who reject his willful sacrifice on Calvary will lose the salvation that he is offering you. But remember, the good shepherd died for you. He dies for the drug addict that is lost and hopeless. He died for the thief. He died for the immoral. He died for liars. He died for gossipers and slanderers. He died for the young child who may be sitting here today who's grown up in church. They have lived a good life, and yet they have not confessed their sins to their good shepherd. He died so that you may have eternal life. It does not matter what you've done. It does not matter where you have come from. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." If you don't know this good shepherd this morning who has willingly died for you, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, has done it. He's taken your punishment. We read in Romans chapter 8 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to remind us on this Sunday morning that we all have sinned. And without accepting by faith the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, who has willingly died for you, if you haven't done that, you will be destined for eternal pain. Friends, I'm so thankful this morning. I'm so happy to let you know that you don't have to be destined for eternal pain. The good news this morning is that our loving good shepherd provided a remedy. The words to this familiar song says, "There's a remedy for every sin-sick soul. There is a cure for all. All the pain and the hurt and the wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ." We read in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. The remedy is clear this morning. The good shepherd has died for you. The question is, will you believe? But not only does the good shepherd die for his sheep, but the good shepherd knows his sheep. you still have your Bibles open, look at verse number 14. It says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. If you were to study that word know right there in verse number 14, you would find that in the Greek, that it means to know experientially. This is much more than just an intellectual knowledge. This is much more than just an intellectual knowledge that you just have in your mind. But what Jesus is saying here is he's saying that I know you. I know you on an intimate level. I know you. I know the numbers on, I can number the hairs on your head. The good shepherd knows his sheep on a personal level. You know, the good shepherd knows your name. He knows your name. He knows Rodney Scott Loper II. He brought Rodney Scott Loper II out of the deep miry clay, as the song puts it, and he has called me by name. Why? Because he takes personal interest in me. And I am so happy to let you know this morning that Jesus Christ takes personal interest in you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you find yourself this morning, and he's taking personal interest in you. Amen. He's a faithful God because he's done this for centuries. He called Zacchaeus by name. He was a dirty, rotten thief, but Jesus called him out of that tree and said, hey, I'm coming to your house today. He called Peter and Andrew by name. They were two fishermen. They were doing what they wanted, and Jesus said, come and follow me. He knew James and John's name. He knew Mary's name in the garden. He knew Adam and Eve by name. Friends, he knows your name this morning, and he's calling his lost sheep to come to him. Not only does the good shepherd know his sheep on an intimate level, not only does he know your names, but he knows your nature as well. You know, the nature of a sheep is wild. I Googled it, and Google is always accurate. Maybe I should have gone on to ChatGPT and seen what it would have told me, but Google says that they're timid, they're fearful, they're easily panicked, they're dumb, stupid, gullible, stampede easily, little or no means of self-defense, and easily killed by enemies. Man, who wants to go to the stockyards tomorrow and buy a sheep? Not me. But in all seriousness this morning, our good shepherd knows our nature and our tendencies. He knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you find yourselves, but he knows exactly how to communicate with you. You know, we're all created differently. That's good. We're all created differently, and we all live in a world that is different, and we see things different, and our good shepherd knows how to communicate to us on our level. That's good. Good shepherd is able to talk to you in a way that he may not talk to Brother Ziegler about. He's able to talk to me in a way that you may have no idea what he's trying to communicate with me about if he were to talk the same way to me as he did to you. Why? Because the good shepherd is able to guide us. He's able to direct us. He's able to lead us down paths that lead us to him ultimately. All because he knows our nature. He knows how to communicate with us. He knows your name. He knows your nature. And then he knows our needs. Look at verse 14 again. It says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Listen, when you allow the good shepherd to shepherd your life, he knows exactly how you operate, and in return, he knows exactly what you need. And with this beautiful picture of a loving shepherd caring for one of his sheep, you will begin to know on an intimate level who your shepherd is on a deeper level. When you begin to have a relationship with your good shepherd who knows your name, who knows how to communicate with you, and who knows your needs, in return, you begin to know him on a deeper level. Psalm 23 says that he provides green pastures for his sheep. Right? He knows exactly what you need, and he knows exactly where to find you. Early in his career, Thomas Edison invented a vote recording machine. And he wanted to sell this and use this in government so that they could push a button this way or this way for yes or no. And he invented this very early on in his career. In fact, he got his first patent by inventing this vote recording machine. He went to Washington and he met with the chairman of the congressional committee, and he said to that chairman, "I've got this machine. It's going to cut your process in half. It's going to make everything smooth. Everything is going to be much faster. All you have to do is tap yes or no with whatever you want to vote. And it's just going to be a wonderful thing. I'll sell it to you. And will you take it?" The congressional chairman said, "Well, that's a beautiful idea. That's a wonderful idea. In fact, I love it. I like it. I think we should not do it." Mr. Edison, he was a young inventor. He was stunned. The invention was good. He knew it. The congressional chairman knew it. But it wasn't wanted. That congressional chairman said, "The reason why we don't want it is because the only reason that we can defend against bad or improper legislation is during that process of tabulating the votes on paper, we sometimes can sway their opinions. And so we don't want to have this easy process. We need time to hopefully convince the other congressional leaders to vote a different way." Mr. Edison was rather stunned. He was rather shocked. This leader thought it was a great idea. He thought it was a great idea. He went to all the trouble to patent this invention, but it wasn't wanted. Edison said this. He said, "There and then, I made a vow that I would never again invent anything which was not wanted." The truth about that story is that the customer never buys a product, but really, the customer buys satisfaction of want. The customer buys satisfaction of want. So in other words, we as customers, we want a certain outcome, so we buy a certain product so we can accomplish a certain need or want. If we lack something, what do we try to do? We try to go buy it. We try to fulfill our needs. That's what we do as humans. We're trying to fulfill our needs. But I'm here today to tell you that our good shepherd, he is so far above us. He has created this world. He knows exactly who you are. He knows your name. He knows your tendencies. He knows how you operate. And he knows how to communicate with you on a personal level. And he just says, "I know exactly what you need. I don't need all of these other things." Psalm 23 also says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I shall not want. The good shepherd knows exactly what you need. You're not going to lack. Good shepherd will provide for you. The good shepherd knows you. He knows your name. He knows how to communicate with you. He knows your needs. But then, this morning, we've discussed how he died for us. We've discussed how he knows us intimately. He knows exactly where you're at. But third, the good shepherd must be followed. The good shepherd must be followed. Look at verse 26. It says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Jews, if you were to look back a couple of verses, were just asking Jesus if he was the Christ. They were trying to pin him down, trying to make him give a plain answer because they had other motives. They were trying to get rid of him. But here in verse 26 and verse 27, Jesus is answering them and he says, "Listen, you don't believe what I'm trying to tell you because you're not one of my sheep. You are a lost sheep." And then he says, "My sheep hear my voice." My sheep hear my voice. To hear someone's voice, you have to be tuned in to what they're trying to tell you. You have to be in a position to hear what someone is trying to tell you if you're tuned into them, right? A couple of years ago, actually a while ago, we lived in Florida. We lived about a mile and a half from the church, and every Sunday night I tried to do my best to ride home with my dad. It was just something I liked to do. We would drive home. It was about a mile and a half. He liked to listen to classical music on Sunday night after church. He was a little cuckoo on Sunday nights or something. But he liked that peaceful music, and he would listen to it, and I thought it was stupid. And so I would try to talk to him over that music. I would ask him all sorts of questions, like, how many were in church today? Or why in the world did you preach for 45 minutes? Or why did we do this? Or why didn't we do that? Or you need to do this, probably is what I did. And as I asked those questions, as I talked to him, as he's trying to just detox from the day, he's acknowledging me by shaking his head and saying, yeah, 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 or whatever. And there, at times, I could get him because I knew he wasn't listening to me. He wasn't in tune to what I was trying to say, and that annoyed me. So I could ask him a question that I knew he was going to say yes, but if I knew he would, if he really was listening, he would say no. One time I did that, and he said, yeah, and then it clicked. He said, no, 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 no. He wasn't in tune with what I was trying to talk to him about. He was right beside me. He was driving the truck down the road. He was acknowledging me, but he wasn't listening. He wasn't listening. Friends, we can sit here in church. We can sit as we read our devotions and read the Word of God. We can understand what we're reading, but sometimes if we are not in tune with our Heavenly Father, we will never get what He is trying to speak to us about. Why? We as humans must follow and listen closely and be in tune with what our Good Shepherd is trying to communicate to us about. Why? Because He must be followed. Jesus said, His sheep hear His voice. The Jews heard everything that Jesus was preaching. The Jews heard everything that Jesus was preaching. They knew all of the prophecies. They knew the scriptures. They memorized the scriptures. They had it all together. And yet, they had no idea who they were talking to. You know, some people in our world today just simply have a distraction problem that's keeping them from Christ. Some people in our world today simply just don't believe. They flat out don't believe. They can hear that Jesus loves them. They can hear that He died for them. But they simply say, yeah, no thanks. But then there's some people who do believe. They know the Bible. They know every single jot and tittle found in this book. They know exactly what to believe. They know every word the Bible has said. They can memorize Scripture. They know that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. They know that Jesus arose from the dead. They know He's coming again. They know it all, but they're not willing to submit to the requirements. You know, James tells us in James that faith without works is dead. 1 John 2, 2 through 4 says, and hereby we do know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You can believe all the right things. You can know about them. You can believe them and still be spiritually dead. You must be able and willing to follow the commandments of Scripture. The Good Shepherd must be followed to inherit salvation. Friends, we must keep the commandments of Scripture if we're going to be sheep of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd must be followed. In conclusion, we've learned that the Good Shepherd dies for His sheep. The Good Shepherd knows His sheep. He knows your name. He knows exactly how to talk to you. He knows what you need. And then we've learned that he must be followed. And these demands are still in place today. And so I ask you, is he your shepherd? Do you know his voice? Are you following him? If you've not asked Jesus to come into your heart and you don't have a relationship with him, you can. He loves you. Romans says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friends, if you do not have a relationship with Christ, you are in sin. Sin brings separation from God. But friend, this morning, you can have a relationship with him. He loves you. He is your good shepherd who has willingly died for you. And so, it's very simple. Will you? Will you follow the good shepherd? The one who died for you, the one who knows you on an intimate level. He knows exactly where to find you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He's provided a remedy for you. Do you want it? Do you want it? As we stand this morning, I'm not going to tarry long because I know that I'm talking to a lot of Christians this morning. I know this morning that I'm talking to a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus who are walking the road toward heaven. And you hear a sermon like this and you say, well, this really isn't for me, but I would tell you this morning it is. Because we can glorify in our Father in heaven who has died for us. We can praise and give glory and honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who knows us. He knows exactly where you're at, and we can praise him for that. We can praise him that he gives us clear direction as we listen for him. That's important, and we can glorify him. But I also know, maybe, possibly, in a crowd this size, and maybe someone here doesn't know Jesus. Oh, they know what the Bible says. They know he's the good shepherd, but they don't know him. They haven't made a personal commitment to him. And if that's you this morning, it's our custom here that you would just come and humbly pray and ask God to come into your heart and come into your life because Jesus loves you. And we want to pray with you. We want to help you along your spiritual journey. We're not here to embarrass you. We're not here to cast your confidence away, but we do want to pray with you. And if that's you this morning, no music, I would just invite you to come as I pray. And as I pray, we're going to pray and give God glory for what he's done in our lives as Christians. But if there's someone here who does not know Jesus this morning, I would ask that you just come and pray, and we'd love to pray with you. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We thank you that you died for every single one of us here today. We thank you that you loved us and that you sent your only begotten Son into a world to be beaten, to be bruised, and to be thrown on a cross, nailed there, so that we could inherit eternal life. Not only did you die, but you arose from the grave. And you're seated on the right hand of God the Father this morning. You're interceding on our behalf, and we want to give you glory. And we want to praise you this morning for what you've done for us. We thank you for it. Father, today there may be some here who don't know you. They don't have the reality of you in their hearts and in their lives. They don't have a relationship with you. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, I ask that you would draw them to yourself. I ask that you would convict their heart and help them recognize that the only thing that is important in this life is to love and serve Jesus. The only thing that is important in this life is to love and serve you. Would you help them to recognize that when they do, that there are commandments that must be followed? Would you help us to live the Christian life honoring and pleasing to you? Father, today we thank you for the many people that have gathered here today. We thank you and praise you that you've died for us. We thank you that you know us. And we thank you that you give us clear direction as we follow you. Help us to do that in everything that we say and everything that we do. And we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming on this beautiful Sunday morning. You're dismissed.